are. I mean, look at all the inflation data. And when you really peel back the layers here, what you find is it's not only as bad as the 70s, it could actually be even worse. We're going to talk about that. Plus, the president is overseas for the big NATO thing, and he's got a lot of ideas on how he's going to manage Russian oil. A lot of ideas. You're going to hear some of them. None of them make a bunch of sense, but it gives you a good window into the socialist and a little bit totalitarian tendencies of this administration's thought process, at least when it comes to economics. Oh, we have a lot to talk about today. It's really good to see you, everyone. I am Trish Regan. If you could, please make sure you go and subscribe to this channel on Rumble, on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever you're watching, on Instagram. It's great to have you here. Hit the bell, too, so that you get the alerts whenever we have a show, and give me a thumbs up. All appreciated. Parts of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals than right now. So go to legacypminvestments.com for a whole lot more legacypminvestments.com. Anyway, I want to turn to what we're seeing the president say about this whole energy crisis. You see, we got a problem. We got a problem because Russia has a lot of oil and a lot of natural gas. And well, these are commodities that are traded on open exchanges, which means they're very easy to disguise. And so Biden has a way, he says, to get around that. He's going to cap prices. Listen to him here and we'll discuss.
Explain the price. I suggested a while ago that what we should consider doing is putting a cap on the amount of money that we would pay for, the world would pay for Russian oil. And that we would not provide, the West provides insurance, would not insure Russian ships carrying oil. We would not provide insurance for them, so they would have great difficulty getting customers.
Of course, unless, of course, China decided to provide the insurance. Or maybe some other country that just doesn't care, right? I mean, it's not rocket science. Sure, you can say to American and Western insurers, you're not allowed to provide insurance, but there's other places. The world is one big place. Do not forget. So that's one idea he has. The other idea, of course, and you realize that this is a problem because since the start of this whole thing, well, prior to the start of this whole thing, actually, I would argue since the beginning of the Biden administration, we have seen oil prices continue to escalate. A lot of reasons for that. It's not all Russia, though the president would like you to think so. But it's very hard to control this, again, knowing that it is a global, worldwide market. So here's another idea. Apparently, you can just, he said, put a price cap on Russian oil and let them make a little money, but not too much. Listen.
The point is that we've said to them, here's the deal. We're going to allow you to have a profit on what you make, but not the exorbitant prices that you're charging for the oil now. We've delegated a commission, a group of our national security people to sit down and work out that mechanism. We think it can be done. We think it can be done.
Again, I mean, a little bit delusional here. Now, I give him credit for trying to think innovatively about this, but for some reason, nobody really understands how markets work. And so you're not going to be able to put a price cap unless you're willing to say, and this is a biggie here, hey, China, you're not allowed to buy that oil. Hey, India, you're not allowed to buy that oil. Of course, if you're going to do that, you got to make sure that you say to the Swiss, okay, you're not taking any Russian gold and refining it. And you got to say to the Germans, you know that plan that you had to wind down nat gas purchases by year end? That actually needs to be effective today. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do, but you would really have to be willing to put your money where your mouth is, and you would have to enforce these sanctions on a massive global scale. If you say, China, we don't want you buying that oil, I think China's just going to laugh in our face and they're going to do whatever they want. I mean, I get it. He's trying to get creative. He's like, okay, well, you can make a little money, just not too much. The scary thing is, it's not dissimilar to what he's talking about doing with U.S. energy companies.
We're going to make sure that everybody knows Exxon's profits. Why don't you tell them what Exxon's profits were this year, this quarter? Exxon made more money than God this year.
Don't forget, the White House is starting to use an executive order. If energy companies aren't pumping enough oil, in his estimation, or if their profit margins are just too darn high, as he keeps complaining about, big energy companies are just out to get consumers, and they're using this opportunity. For some reason, he keeps forgetting what he did on January 27th of 2021. And that was to not okay a whole bunch of licenses and leases for drilling in the United States of America. Well, that has an effect. And, you know, we've heard from the administration repeatedly, including from John Kerry, if you go back to January of 2021, our energy czar, who wanted us to think that there was already a shift happening because financiers and private equity companies, they wanted to be in green energy. That's actually not the case. I actually happen to know a lot about this. Not to brag, but you know what? I've been covering markets and business for a lot of years, and I know a lot about this, including this ESG prism that everybody has to invest through. Right? Don't forget, the world's biggest asset manager, who ran a whole green energy initiative and all kinds of ESG stuff, that main employee is now actually head of the National Economic Council there in the Biden administration. And there's been this continuation, right, of this idea, which has been very profitable for some investors that had an illusion that if something was stamped green, it would somehow be that much better of an investment. Now, let me just say I'm pretty simple. If it's a good investment, it's a good investment, right? I have no problem with that. And I actually do think that things can be done and should be done to improve our green energy footprint. Nothing against that. But I'm also just a realist, both as an investor and as an American. And that's that when the administration comes out and tells us, no, we don't want you drilling, it is completely, totally logical that all the investors are going to pull back, which is exactly what happened. All right. So investors pulled back. And now Biden's like, no, I want you in. Well, buddy, I mean, stop being so schizophrenic on this. You got to actually have a clear policy. And we were already in this mess. Let's be honest with each other. Okay. We were already in this mess. How many times did I warn you, going all the way back actually to July of 2020, that we were going to be confronting mass inflation? So when you try and tell us it's Russia's fault now, maybe part of it is, but I think Americans are fed up with lines like this and they see right through them. I know you do, but listen.
Bottom line is, ultimately, the reason why gas prices are up is because of Russia. Russia. The reason why the food crisis exists is because of Russia. Russia not allowing grain to get out of Ukraine. And so that's the way in which I think we should move, and I think it would have a positive impact on the price at the pump as well.
Okay, all right. You got it, right? Like that's the party line. That's what they're pushing. And I'm sensitive to it, and I understand the political objective here. But I also just appreciate honesty. And let's be honest, all right? Inflation was already a problem. And hey, you know what? You don't have to take all the blame for that one. You could blame Jerome Powell over at the Fed too, right? He deserves a lot of the blame as well. The Fed was totally behind the eight ball on this one, as they usually are. But nonetheless, it was Joe Biden's administration that sent out a third stimulus check. It was Joe Biden's administration and the Democrats that put forward that $1.9 trillion stimulus. Heck, it could have been a heck of a lot more. Right? If AOC and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren got their way, it would have been a whole lot more. That was when you said, thank goodness for Joe Manchin, who enforced a little discipline, shall we say, on our very, very happy to spend government. Anyway, inflation was already a problem. It's a hard thing to get control of. And when you really look at the numbers, what you find, I believe, is that we are in a very similar position to where we were in the 1970s, possibly even worse. I mean, the tricky thing is these inflation numbers have been a little bit massaged because, well, they've stripped out the important housing component, right? Housing costs, you know, have gone through the roof. And so if you take that out and you're just, you know, trying to look at everything in a basket of goods that no longer includes the roof over your head, then sure, inflation doesn't seem quite as bad. Back in the 70s, they had to include housing too. In the early 80s, they're, oh, we don't like this because, you know, housing, it's so wild and it keeps appreciating and it makes inflation look so bad. So they took it out, which I think should tell you that the current inflation numbers we see now, as bad as they are actually, when you factor in housing, even worse. Speaking of housing, I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great advertisers on this program. You may have seen Charlie Dombeck, who comes on from time to time. Key City Capital is his firm, and they do a lot in the housing sector, and they've benefited certainly from rising prices in the housing sector, as well as rising rents. And he's got a very interesting product, kind of like a REIT, but not a REIT. And it enables you to invest in some of these projects that they're working on in states like Tennessee and Texas and Florida, a lot of places where people have migrated to. And so he encourages you to go check that out. Take a look. Go to keycitycapital.com/Trish. keycitycapital.com/Trish. Key City Capital, the advertiser, one of the advertisers, new ones, on this program. Anyway, I'm amused by all of this and yet highly disturbed because I think this administration doesn't understand certain basics. I mean, I don't know where these people learn their economics. I don't believe Joe Biden ever did. I don't think he learned much about anything, even despite his claim that he was a star student in law school, which was later dismantled, that entire claim, of course, because we learned he was actually one of the worst students in law school. Look, I don't think that all the wires are connecting. You hear him over and over and over again. He's very repetitive. He's stumbling. But you know what? People say, oh, it's his age. I do think he's up there in age. I think all of them are up there in age, and we need a whole fresh crop of people. That said, the guy's just never been that smart, and he's never been that articulate. And there was a reason he was never the nominee for president in the Democratic Party before. I think this time around, they thought, well, we just need somebody who we can keep under wraps, you know, in the basement, don't let him out much, and make sure that the independents go for him because they think it's just a vote against Donald Trump. I mean, this election, 2020, was in many ways a vote with the independents in the middle saying, I don't want to live through four more years of Donald Trump. And so they voted for Joe Biden. The only problem now is a lot of people are getting buyer's remorse. They're saying, but wait, I didn't know that gas prices were going to top $5. I didn't know that food prices would go through the roof. I didn't know we'd be dealing with all this inflation and a challenged economy. And so I think there's a huge opportunity come both the fall, although you've heard me say before, conservatives need to be careful. You need to find a way to bring in those independents. Come fall and, of course, in 2024, because I'll tell you this, any way you slice it, policy matters. I mean, that is what we have learned. This is not a popularity contest. Policy matters, and it affects every single one of us. So let's get some smart people. Let's get some people that understand the economy and understand business so that we can therefore benefit and prosper like we have for decades before. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to see you right back here tomorrow. Again, do not forget, go to trishintel.com. That's my website. Sign up for my newsletter there and get all your news and information. We've got all kinds of stories for you there every single day. I'll see you tomorrow.